Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer and not a doubter. I am a doer and not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, y'all here today? All right, I mean, sounds like it's, am I sitting by myself? I didn't hear nobody respond. Okay, maybe it's the monitors. I just hear myself loud. Is that what it is? Okay. Okay. All right. I love y'all. Okay. So before we get started in my on our scripture, there's a story that I want to tell you guys. It's a true story. Okay. So I want to tell you this story, and it's going to set the backdrop for our lesson on this morning. So there is this race in Australia. It's called the Ultra Marathon, and it's the largest one or the longest one on earth. It is 543.9 miles, okay? 543.9 miles. It starts at Sydney, Australia, and it goes all the way down to Melbourne, Australia, okay? So this race is run usually by elite athletes, people that are very fit who have trained months and months to go and be a part of this race, okay? So most of the runners are under the age of 30. Because usually they have the stamina, whatever, to go forth in this race. So the race consists, it'll be 6 days long. You run for 18 hours, and then you sleep for 6 hours, okay? 18 hours you are running, and 6 hours you are sleeping, right? So in 1983, there was this guy by the name of Cliff Young. Cliff Young was 61 years old, and he says, I'm going to run this race. Okay, so he turns up to register for the race, and everyone at the race is already in their gear. They have their shorts on, their sneakers, and their little number, their little tank top, because they're going to be running for 18 hours. Well, Cliff shows up to the race in a pair of, like, water-resistant pants, you know, some boots, and says he wants to register for this race. So everybody's looking at him like, do you know where you are and what you signed up to do, right? And so they were looking at him like he was real crazy. Of course, they started laughing at him and trying to discourage him from running in this race. Well, Cliff was this Australian potato farmer. He grew up on this farm, and his family was not wealthy farmers, so he had to go and do a lot of things by hand, or, you know, just because they didn't have the equipment or the horses or things to help them bring the sheep or the herds in. So he told them how, you know, he was a farmer, and for days he would go out and herd the sheep because we didn't have, you know, the equipment or the money to handle or to hire help to help me do it. So, of course, again, they're still laughing at him because he's telling his story about how a farmer is going to go and run this race. So the media's there, and they're all laughing at him. So they say, okay, we'll let you run this race. So they all line up. They shoot the gun. The race begins. Of course, in the front, you're going to have everybody that's been training. You know, all those elite athletes who have already been training, preparing themselves for this day. So they do a crowd shot, and you see all the people that are fit and ready running in the crowd. Miles down the way is Cliff Young running all by himself solo, okay? Because, number one, they just said he's older. He didn't have the speed to keep up with the crowd. So he goes on to the race, and so because he's so far behind, he did not realize that when the runners start making turns, he just kept straight because, you know, it was time for them to go and take their nap because they had ran their 18 hours, so they turned off to go sleep for 6 hours, but Cliff didn't see them turn off, so he just kept running. So for 6 days, Cliff just kept running because he was so far behind, he did not know which way to go. So he's just running and running, and everybody else is just resting on their 6 hours. So lo and behold, come to find out, the race ends on the sixth day, and who is the winner? Cliff Young is the winner. Why is Cliff Young the winner? So they're like, Cliff, you pulled it off. How did you do this? And he was like, I don't know. I just didn't stop. I just kept going. So my encouragement today is just don't stop. Be like Cliff Young and just keep going, okay? So history was made. He broke the record, and the next runner came in 9 hours behind Cliff. So while they were sleeping, Cliff was running. While they were somewhere taking a nap, getting re-energized or refreshed, Cliff was running. So on the outside, here we have he was a fragile looking man, okay? Because it's a true story. Look it up, Google it. I promise you, you'll find it. So he is not like he was like the most, you know, fit person. So on the outside, they had already discounted Cliff's ability because of how he looked on the outside. But don't let people look at you on the outside and discount or make you think that you are not worthy of doing things that somebody else is doing. Amen? When you have determination, when you have the will, when you have the do-with-all, the work ethic to put it in, you keep going forth despite the naysayers. Because he could have just said, you know what, they're picking at me, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go back to my farm. But no, he knew that he had a desire in his heart to run this race. But he not only ran the race, but he won the race and set a new record. So don't ever think that because somebody is saying you can't do something that it is not obtainable. Amen. So again, my plea for you today is that you just keep going. Amen. So now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Somebody tell your neighbor this morning, keep going. Tell him again, the other neighbor, keep going. All right. Yes, we're going to talk to one another this morning. Are y'all ready? All right. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured for sinners such hostility against himself, so that you also may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So here we have three verses, and it's three times we see one word, and that word is endurance. And it's not because God ran out of synonyms or antonyms, but he wanted you to get endurance, okay? So he wanted you to see that endurance is a something that we have to realize that as in this Christian walk we have to have, okay? So endurance, let's give you the definition for endurance first, and then we'll go from there. So endurance is to bear up under the weight of something, to have patience, to hold something that is heavy. And our operable definition for endurance is the power to withstand great pain or hardship. It is the ability or strength to continue despite fatigue, stress, or adverse conditions. So the definition, again, is the power to withstand great pain or hardship. It is the ability or strength to continue despite fatigue, stress, or adverse conditions. So, yes, there is going to be the presence of fatigue, the presence of stressful situations. Again, we say pressure, yes, but stress, no, right? We don't get stressed out around here, right? So pressure, yes, but stress, no. So there may be fatigue, there may be stressful situations or adverse conditions, but guess what? I'm going to continue on. And the enemy's job is to try to get you to quit. All he wants you to do is quit trying, quit on your family, quit, you know, life, period. But we must realize that we are not going to be like those who draw back. Amen. We're going to continue on despite, yeah, I'm tired. It may seem like it's taking forever, but guess what? I'm not going to stop because I do not see the manifestation right away. Amen. So the thing about the word endurance is in this time, we're like, who want to endure anything? We have been made really to back away from things that causes us pain. That's just our natural response to painful situations is back up. Or we think if it has anything to do with pain, it's the devil. The devil's causing this pain. Sometimes it's our bad decisions that cause us to be in painful situations. Amen? But if there's an extreme hardship, sometimes we think we're out of the will of God. But a lot of times you have to realize that as we're walking this Christian walk, that there are going to be trials and tests and temptations. But the thing is, God has already given us his promise that he will deliver us out of every problem, amen? So again, we have tests and trials that are going to come, but we cannot fold, amen? And endurance is the ability to keep going despite feeling tired in the presence of stressful situations or environments. So now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. And we're going to read these two verses, and we're going to talk about how do we keep going. And one of the things I want to talk about today, which I just gave you the definition for, was endurance. We're going to keep going because we're going to have patience and endurance. Amen? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, it says, patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. And then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and he will not delay. So somebody say patience. I promise you did not just curse. You did not curse because you said patience. But sometimes people think, I don't want to be patient. You want me to wait to do what? Especially when we live in a world of apps. There's an app for everything. If there was an app for endurance, how many would download it? I would download the app of endurance, the app of patience. You know, you tell somebody you want to go see a movie, what do? We go to our app. Fandango, right here, buy my tickets. When I get there, scan my QR code, let me go to my seat, right? You say you're going to dinner? I'm not waiting in line for a seat. I'm going to go to Open Table. You have table for four at 7 p.m. Make my reservation. I'm going to go sit down, right? Because we live in a world of apps. How about Uber? Uber wasn't even a word years ago, but now Uber is in a dictionary. Is it in dictionary yet? It might be in dictionary by now, but it wasn't before. But, you know, I'm going to Uber home. Why? Because we don't want to wait for people to come pick us up, right? I'm not waiting on you. Give me a ride, you know, right? Because we don't want to wait. So enduring or being patient is like, who does that now? You know, because it's the world we live in, and that's great. The technology has taken us to this place where we can do things quick, fast, and in a hurry. How about Amazon? You remember Amazon when it first came out? 4 or 5 days, right, was what they offered for delivery. Then it came to Amazon Prime. 2 days now, right? Did you know there's now an Amazon Now? There is Amazon Now where you can get household items in 2 hours delivered to your house. Because why? Who wants to wait now? I'm not doing that, right? Right, so we don't have to wait, but the thing is, that's in the natural. But the things of God, it's a process. So we cannot start thinking that because things that are natural happen like this. God says, there's a process to my way. We have to be patient through my process for you to see the manifestation of it, amen? So somebody say, you got to wait on God. You have to wait on God. And so I got to tell you this story of what happened to me this week, talking about patience in a minute. But so this week was one of the weeks that I think I would erase from my whole entire life. Starting on Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, I don't know, I just started having this back pain. It wasn't really bad until like Wednesday evening. I could tell that something had been happening. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go sit down and just kind of chill and just stay off my feet. And so it got worse as I was sleeping. And I usually work out every morning, but I said, I'm not going to work out in the morning. I'm just going to sleep in to see how it goes. Well, Thursday morning, I woke up. It was like horrible. When I tell you horrible, I have never in my life felt pain like that before in my life. So most places open at 9. So by 8:15, I had my list of chiropractors. I was going to call because right at 9 o'clock, somebody going to see me, okay? Because I don't usually go to the chiropractor often. So Pastor has one that he uses, but she's not open on Thursdays. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to call somebody else just so I can get seen today. So I called around. Everybody's like, okay, we can see you tomorrow. We can see you tomorrow. I'm like, that's not going to work. I want relief today, right? So I called somebody, and they said, okay, we have an 11 o'clock. You can come at 11 o'clock today. So I said, okay, I'll take it, right? So I go there at 11. They do my x-rays. They do my, he does the exam. And then they walk me out and say, okay, we'll see you tomorrow at 9 for your adjustment. I'm like, tomorrow? You know, you should have told me this is a two-day thing when you told me you had an opening today. So that means I have to go back home in pain on Thursday till tomorrow for the adjustment. So Thursday, I get home, and I think, y'all, it intensified. Like, I could not walk a step. I'm like, ah! Like, it would stop you in your tracks. I think it was like spasms in my back. And so it would just stop me in my tracks. I would sit down, and it's just like shooting up, just shooting up. And I would grab on the tables. And so Jay was like, Mom, I'm just going to go to my room. I was like, Bud, your dad's not here. I need your help. And so he later starts texting me, you okay? Fine, I'm all right, I don't need your help, you know? But so it just was a bad night on Thursday. So you know how people tell you, you know, I think everything in my life has a purpose, and, you know, it just, you know, it set me up to be where I am today. Thursday had no purpose in my life, okay? I'm like, God, erase September 26, 2019 from my history because there was no purpose in this pain, right? So then they tell you, you know, well, you've had babies. Well, both times. When my water broke, give me the medicine. I felt nothing, okay? So numb here down. Push, I'm pushing, you know? So it's like I don't do well with pain. So I had nothing to compare this pain against. But I wish it on no one, okay? So Friday morning, it was just like, so I get in the shower, try to, you know, take a shower. The soap falls. Guess what? The soap stays on the floor. I can't bend down to get the soap. It was just a mess. I'm by myself. Kids in school. Pass is gone. I'm trying to dry off. I can't lift my leg. I'm trying to dry. I'm like, God. So I'm like, they're going to get me, right? They're going to get me together today, right? So I get to the chiropractor. And they go, so I had, so they told me that they do hands-on adjustments. Mind you, I don't go to the chiropractor. The only time I went was years ago, and it's Pastor's chiropractor, and she does the machine adjustments, right? The little gun. Yeah. So they say do hands-on adjustments. So I'm there, and I'm hearing this little bump, 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 every, you know, few seconds. I'm like, okay, maybe he's going to use the machine after all. You know, that's what I'm thinking. So I go, and I lay in the, on the table. He goes, lay on your stomach. He said, I'm going to raise the table. You're going to push it down. So I'm like, oh, that's him pushing that table down with my back. So I'm laying there, and he's pushing my back down, you know, trying to get me together. Then he goes, okay, lay on your side. Take this arm under you. Raise this leg up. I'm like, what? You know, so first of all, I'm in pain already, and you want me to try and do some gymnastics right now? And I'm on this table, so he gets me there, and he starts pushing up on that side. Then I have to go to the other side and do the same thing. Then he gets my neck and crack my neck. I'm like, this is horrible. So I walk out, right? They go, how was it? I was like, awkward. You know, it was not fun. So, but I got to say, a few hours later, I started feeling better. So I said, okay, I've been waiting. I've been going through some pain. I'm about to reward myself, okay? It is time for a treat. It's what I told myself. So me and Hannah, I had to pick up Hannah and I had to go pick the dog up because he had went and got groomed that morning. So we're in James City. I'm not going to tell you where I decided to go eat. But what y'all think I went to go eat for my treat? Fried chicken. Yes, okay. Fried chicken. So y'all know me so well. So I'm going to get me some fried chicken. And if you go to this certain place and you tell them that you want a certain amount of pieces, they're going to cook it per order, meaning it's going to be hot and fresh. And I love me some hot, fresh fried chicken, right? And I hadn't had this fried chicken in a while, so I'm like, okay, this is going to be amazing. So we get to the drive-thru, and I tell the lady I want the hot wings, and she said, okay, it's going to be a 10-minute wait. Hannah said, what? We're going to wait for 10 minutes for some chicken? I said, yes, we're going to patiently wait 10 minutes for some chicken. I have endured a whole lot this week. We're going to sit right here and get ready for this chicken. Give me a Diet Pepsi while I wait. So we're in line and we're waiting for the chicken. Of course, they did really good this time. They came out right into 10 minutes. But when I took it and I ate it, this is another story, it was not what I remembered, okay? I'll just put it that way. It was not how I remembered it before. So therefore, I had waited all this time for what I thought was going to be a special treat, you know, to help me get over my whole, you know, experience with the chiropractor and this pain in my back. And it was very disappointing. But I say this to say this. Sometimes when you're waiting for something that you think you really want it, it is not always what you think you really want it. But you cannot blame God because it did not satisfy your appetite. Because that's what you wanted. God's going to give you the desires of your heart. So sometimes it's not necessarily what we need because God is saying, you didn't need that fried chicken. You've been doing good all this time. See, there you go. You didn't need it after all. So that's how I took it. That God was, I said, I'm looking out for you. You didn't need the fried chicken. But at the end of the day, because we wait sometimes so long, we think that, okay, it's going to be gravy because I've been waiting this long. But it's not always gravy. Sometimes it's that hard, crunchy rice, where, you know, because you don't cook it right, you know, because it's not what you need. But God is saying, I got you. If you just give it to me, I'm going to give you what you want, but you got to be patient to wait for it. Because I could have, you know, prematurely just, you know, I'm not going to wait. I'm just going to go ahead and do something else. But then I would have forfeited what I think was what I wanted. Amen. Now let's read verse 36 again. I'm already almost done with my lesson. Verse 36 says, patient endurance is what you need now. So we have got to be patient. And what is patience? Patience is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. That means you got to be happy while you're waiting. Is that easy? Yes, it is. It can be. You can be happy while you're waiting. Does it feel good? No. But guess what? My joy is because I know that God is going to answer my prayer. That's where my joy comes from, in knowing that, you know what? God, I'm going to wait right here because you are already specially making things for me. Amen. It's a waiting process because you got your hands involved and you're making it just how I want it. Amen. So patience is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. And patient endurance is the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith by even the greatest trials and suffering. So patient endurance, that's who you are. You are going to be somebody who is unswerved by something that it could be the greatest trial of your life. But guess what? I'm not giving up on my faith. I'm not giving up on my purpose because I realize that if I just keep holding on, it really is going to manifest in my life. Amen. So we got to have this unswerving faith that I'm not letting go of what I want because it may be difficult right now. I'm not letting go because it does not feel good right now, but I'm going to keep going because I want to see the manifestation of my faith. Amen. So now we exercise patience in several ways or several times. You know, if you're a parent in the room, a lot of times we exercise patience with our kids because they sometimes act out of a way that they know they should not act when they're not in your presence. Because, you know, you told them to be respectful to adults when you're not there. And they try to act up. And you want to go and wring their necks, right? We're exercising patience with our children because sometimes, just like us, they're going to make mistakes and make dumb decisions. But guess what? We don't throw them away, right? So we're going to exercise patience. Even, you know, sometimes the husband say, okay, guys, wife, we're going to spend only $200 extra, you know, this week. She goes out and buy clothes for $500. He's like, give me the card. You know, they're exercising patience because we said, no, we're only going to spend this amount of money, but you're going to go and blow the budget. So, you know, you have to exercise patience during those moments and not go off, right? And then, you know, you have those people who like, you know, when the light turns green and you don't go right away, they want to blow their horn at you. You exercising patience by not going off on them, right? Right? That road rage is real. You know, those people that drive the speed limit in the fast lane, get in the right lane, you know? So that's my issue. If you're going to drive slow in the right lane, not the fast lane, okay? You don't drive the speed limit in the fast lane. Speed limit is for the right lane, okay? But we got to keep going, right? So we're exercising patience. We're not going to lose our character because it's not feeling good right now or because we're uncomfortable, amen? So how many will agree that sometimes our patience can seem to wear thin? Like, okay, God, I've been patient. How much longer do I have to be patient? You have to be patient until the manifestation shows up, amen? But it's during those times that our calm demeanor must be displayed. And that's where their endurance comes in, where we're able to tolerate or bear the conditions without flinching, amen? Without pulling our hair out because, you know, it seemed like, okay, it's taking forever. But guess what? We're not going to start losing our character. We're going to remain, you know, in a Christian character, amen? And we're going to, even though it may be hard, we're not going to start pulling our hair out, acting like we don't know what's going on. But no, we're always going to remain, like, keep ourselves in a controlled state, amen? So it's at that time in your life that some of you may be enduring some suffering. You may be in a place right now where you are suffering one of the hardest trials of your life. But I'm here to encourage you that if you just keep going and keep the faith, keep putting the word of God on it, I promise you that it will work. The manifestation will come if you just keep going and not stop. Amen? Let's go to, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to read verse 10, and we'll close out here. Hebrews 6 and 10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. I love this scripture. It says, God is not unjust. Guess what? Everything you do for everybody else, he said, I see it, and I'm not going to forget it. So you just keep loving people and showing them Christ through you, and I'm going to reward you for that. So it says, he's not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Verse 11. It says, we want each of you to show the same diligence, the same way you're loving other people. Show the same diligence in getting your stuff done. Amen? The same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for, it may be fully realized. Verse 12, it says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience, what happens? They inherit what has been promised. Verse 13, and when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, guess what? He swore by himself. Verse 14 says, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And the last verse says, and so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised him. So here we have a scripture where it shows that God is saying to you that if you would just be diligent about whatever you have going on. The same way you are diligent by helping other people. The same way you're diligent about, you know, witnessing. Diligent about showing love to people, be diligent about the things that you have going on so that you don't stop. Because sometimes we'll put other things before what we want. You know, we'll put what we want to do on the way back burner. Let me just focus on this right now. Let me just do this right now. But no, God is saying if there's a desire of your heart, remain diligent to that thing. No matter how hard it may seem, don't give up because it's hard. Because here it says he promised to Abraham back when Abraham was 75 years old and childless that he was going to be a father of many. So imagine being 75 years old, no children, but God's saying, guess what? I'm going to make you a father of many. So, I mean, Abraham was like, shoot, I'm about dead now. What? A little late for this promise, don't you think? But God is saying, no, it doesn't matter how old you are. If I have something for you, I'm going to give it to you. It took Abraham 25 years to see that promise come to pass. How many are willing to wait 25 years for a promise? If God promised to me, I'm willing to wait forever because guess what? Because I believe God. He's not going to return his word void, amen? So if he's going to promise it to you, guess what? He's going to back it up and make it happen in your life. So here Abraham waited 25 years, but guess what? It came to pass. Are you willing to wait 25 years? Are you willing to wait, you know, beyond what you say? Okay, God, I'm going to give you 5 years. If not, okay, it's done. But we cannot put a time limit on God because society has us thinking everything happens like that. With God, it's a process. And we have to work the process in faith and with endurance and with some patience. Because we cannot become impatient and then throw up our hands and then wonder why it didn't work. Because you quit. You know, but as long as we keep going and keep fighting and keep swinging and realize that God is fighting with us, you're going to get strengthened along the way. You may be tired because he'll still come and upgird you, amen, with his strength up under your wings. So we just have to give God something to work with, amen? So let's be like Cliff Young and let's set some new records this morning and let's keep going. While everybody else is sleeping, I'm going to keep running, amen? While everybody's saying I can't do it, guess what? I'm going to keep doing. We're going to go against the odds and do what God has commissioned us to do. Amen. I pray you were blessed on this morning. That's all I have for you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise all over the building. So we're going to go ahead and do our appeals really quickly. Then we're going to dismiss. So if you are here and we're just going to ask everyone to bow their heads and let's just get ready for